From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, along with executive producer Jason Becknell. Glad to be back in the studio after we took a field trip last week to the Raise Forum at Emory University. A good time at that inaugural Investors Forum, and we hope to be hearing from them again in the very near future. But as I mentioned, back in the studio, we get a special group of guests from the Tucker Northlake area this morning. We'll introduce them in just a second, but first I want to remind you that DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. Follow us on Twitter, at DeKalb Radio X. You can like us on Facebook, at facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. Of course, listen live each Friday at 10 and noon on DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. You can download our free podcasts on our site, or there are free download on iTunes as well. And of course, this edition of DeKalb Business Today is brought to you by the Bornelis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance need, contact Kellen and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967 or check out the link on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. With all that said, let's introduce our panel today. And we have a second time guest in Ann Rosenthal, the president of the Tucker Northlake CID, as well as ARC, the president of that, your main business, if you will. Ann, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
We're glad to have you here. Just start out, we mentioned, we're kind of talking about it off the air, the big headline. There was a big election last week. When we had you on before, you mentioned the Tucker cityhood, the La Vista Hills cityhood, didn't have a big impact on what's going on in the Tucker Northlake Community Improvement District.
Not at all. Not at all.
So what was the reaction? What is the reaction? I would imagine different member businesses were on different sides of that issue.
You know, within the business community, it was really because the CID was impartial. It really didn't have an impact on us either way. So, you know, it makes us, we're driving economic development for that area. So it's a win-win for unincorporated DeKalb, and it's a win-win for cities. So that's the way we look at it. And
we'll look forward to talking more about the CID and also your business, ARC. We're coming up on a busy legislative session at the Gold Dome. So plenty to talk about there. We appreciate you being here today. Our second guest is Brad Spratt. Now, Brad Spratt is the president and CEO of DB Spratt Enterprises. What that means is you got yourself a couple Chick-fil-A's there in the Tucker area.
That's right. That's right.
How did you get into the Chick-fil-A franchising business? Because I know you've got a long background kind of in food and restaurant management, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I was actually in leadership roles at a couple of restaurant development companies, and a next-door neighbor of mine worked at Chick-fil-A, and we would share notes. And we would compare notes about what they were doing and what we were doing, and wow, what Chick-fil-A was doing was great. And the more I learned about it, the more interested I became, and went down that path and was fortunate enough to be selected. Started 8 years ago in Snellville, Georgia, where everybody's somebody. Felt good about
That's
that.
Right.
And made my way back home to the Tucker Northlake area.
It's funny you say you were fortunate enough to be selected. We were talking about it earlier, kind of doing some research. It is not easy to be selected by Chick-fil-A to open a franchise.
No, it's not. Chick-fil-A is very unique. Their franchise is very unique. It's very different than other franchises, and we can talk more about that if you like at some point. The selection process, they vet you, mm-hmm. and it typically lasts a year, year and a half. Look, you're going into business with somebody for life. They want to make good choices. They want to make choices that they feel are going to represent them good in the communities in which they live and serve.
Yeah. The gold standard of fast food right now is Chick-fil-A. And so we'll talk more about that coming up. But let's get back to maybe the gold standard of consulting. Can we say that, Ann? Would that be okay?
You sure can.
Tell us a little bit about ARC.
Well, we are primarily a governmental affairs firm that focuses on lobbying the state General Assembly. So that's your local legislators, the House and the Senate within the state of Georgia. Previously, my work has also included campaign consulting, which included fundraising for both candidates and PACs. Over the last few years, I've phased that out of my practice, though I'm usually happy to talk about it and offer some friendly insight. But there's no life when you're dealing with campaigns, and which is the primary reason. It's a constant stress, and I don't need that.
It's constant stress.
That.
Yeah, and it evolves. Yes. I mean, it's evolved so much. You know, whether it's door-to-door in a local campaign, whether, you know, mailings, whatever, and now you're getting into the social media and the online and everything else. it's like night and day, I would imagine, from when you started in it.
Oh, it's completely night and day. When I was doing it, there was no Twitter. I think maybe Facebook had just come out. I was working in campaigns the early 2000s and up till about 2006 and loved it. It was a phenomenal experience. But it's just, I can't imagine doing campaign work now because you're always on.
Right.
It's just, you know, you're up to constant scrutiny. And any little thing you say or do is captured.
How did you get into this? Do you have a political science background?
No, actually, I studied education. So, but I'd always been interested in politics. And my dad and my grandfather were always very engaged in their communities. And so I'd always been interested in politics. And back in 2000, I was fortunate enough to be selected for leadership to CAB. And we went down to the Capitol. And that was it. I fell in love with it instantly. So I quit my regular 9-to-5 sales and consulting practice and started from scratch and built it up and have been doing it 15 years later. I'm still here.
So. Are you working with candidates of both parties? Is it just local? Is it hyper-local to the county and city level?
I am really trying to be nonpartisan. I am really about the issues. And I never will forget when I was talking to a prospective client a couple of years ago. He said, well, are you a Democratic lobbyist or are you a Republican lobbyist? And I said, I'm neither. I am about the issues. And I think that's really what's wrong with our system today. We're very much two-party sided. And you're either, you have to be a Democrat or you have to be a Republican. And that's just, that's not, I am as independent as they come. And I'm proud to say that I have friends on both sides of the aisle, good friends on both sides of the aisle.
That's kind of rare in today's day and age.
It is definitely rare in today's age.
You're listening to DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio, talking with Ann Rosenthal from ARC Consulting down there at the Gold Dome. Talk about some of the issues that you lobby for.
Well, it's I focus on children's issues, health and wellness, and senior issues, as well as economic development. And the economic development talks about, you know, how we can make our area more business friendly. Of course, Georgia is once again number one to do business in the state of Georgia. And so with the CID, our role is to bring some of those jobs and businesses back here to this area. So, and that includes tax reform. So those are primarily the issues that I'm covering.
Talk a little bit about, you mentioned some of the earlier issues, because it does kind of span economic development, but also children's issues and senior issues. Are those getting enough attention? Because I think politicians are always talking about, we need more jobs, we need to cut taxes, we need to do this and that. But sometimes the seniors definitely get lost. Sometimes the kids get lost as well.
Absolutely. We can never spend enough time talking about kids and seniors, our two most valuable and most vulnerable assets. I think that the governor has been very proactive with it as it relates to child care issues, and certainly as it relates to pre-K, and looking at continuing to expand that. With seniors, I think they have, the legislators have, until recently, it's not been as high a priority as it should be. And fortunately, over the last 2 to 3 years, we've been successful in making it a much higher priority, and we've been successful in passing some legislation that is specifically aimed at helping those seniors and going after the predators.
How many lobbyists are under the Gold Dome? How crowded of a field is this?
It is completely different from when I started 15 years ago. I think when I looked at the state ethics reform, and of course it's no longer called the state ethics reform, it's the Georgia Government and Transparency. I can't remember what the full name of it is. But anyway, I think there are just under 3,000 lobbyists.
Wow.
Come January.
At the Gold Dome.
Holy cow. That's a lot of people. And that's why it's so important. And I tell folks that your voice always speaks louder in numbers, and speak early and speak often.
So how do you make those connections with the politicians? How do you get to know them? How do they get to know you out of a field of 3,000 people vying for their attention?
Well, for me, I focus on the issues that we care about, and then we just break it down legislatively in terms of the districts. So I have a statewide client, for instance, and I am constantly working all of the legislators, both House and Senate members, where my client has an entity. And so I've got a spreadsheet, and I know exactly, you know, who's doing what. And then obviously for the CID, it's a little bit more local. We know all of the DeKalb commissioners, and we certainly know the DeKalb delegation. And then as it relates to economic development, it's getting to know the players and reminding them of who you are, and because they're very forgetful. And so it's staying in front of them.
Is it simplistic to think, you look at the issues that you're lobbying for, is it simplistic to think that it's easier for you to get action and get results on things like helping children or new laws to protect seniors versus things that might be more contentious like economic development and taxation issues?
They're touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. And what's good policy? That's the way that we try and shape it, and we present it to them in a way that they can easily understand it and grasp onto it. So, and fortunately for my clients, it's really the legislators that I work with. We've developed those relationships so that they're sympathetic and they're supportive and they understand how important children's issues, how important seniors' issues are, and how important economic development is. Because at the end of the day, all of those issues go back to economic development. How many child care providers there are that's providing, the state gets something from that. We're bringing in jobs, same for seniors. So every category or every entity or issue has an economic base. It's how you present it.
As you work with these lawmakers from across the state, and it's at the state and the local level versus what you see in Washington, are these good people or are these like the politicians that you see in Washington who are always looking out for themselves and always poll testing things? Do they have beliefs?
Oh, sure, they do. And I think that the legislators that we have, I think, are mostly good. I mean, obviously, you've got a couple of bad apples in every entity that mm-hmm. you do. No one is completely immune to that. But certainly the legislators that we work with are in it for the right reasons and are doing it to make a difference. And some of them have been there a very short couple of years, and some of them have been there for multiple of a couple of decades. So it's just building those relationships. And I think, and I'll use Chairman Willard and Senator Henson both as an example. Chairman Willard is chair of the House Judiciary Committee and probably one of the smartest individuals that I've ever met. He's a brilliant lawyer, and he gets both sides of the issues. So he's very supportive of child care issues as well as senior issues. He's definitely been an advocate for that, but also just the overall judiciary process. And then bringing it local back home, Senator Steve Henson. I mean, what a wonderful state senator for those of us in his district have, is really as well for the state. He's the minority leader, and he does a great job of representing his constituents. And even though they're on opposite sides of the aisle, different sides of the aisle, they have a way of working together. And I think it's that if you can get out of that mentality of I can only follow and do what the GOP says, or I can only follow and do what the Democratic Party says, that's where trouble begins. We have to work together to get it accomplished. Otherwise, I mean, just look at the feds. So the feds, it's a completely different story, especially on the House side.
As we wrap up with Ann Rosenthal from the Tucker Northlake CID and from ARC, you kind of touched on it earlier, some of the legislative successes. What are some of the things you've gotten accomplished in recent years, and what do you have coming up under the Gold Dome when they convene?
So, most recently, we were successful for the 2015 General Assembly. We secured $325,000 in the state budget to support the Adult Day Center for Aging Adult Licensing. So basically, prior to 2014, adult daycare centers didn't have to be licensed. Now, there were certain protocols that they had to be, but if they didn't follow state guidelines, no one ever really knew, because there wasn't a licensing issue in place, or there wasn't a licensing mechanism in place. So we were successful in funding that. We have also been successful in extending the time frame for victims of certain crimes to request victims' compensation from 1 year to 3 years. And probably one of the things that I'm most proud of that we were successful in passing, this was actually in 2013, is the Elder Protection Modernization Act. And basically it updates the definition of elder maltreatment to include sexual abuse and exploitation. And then it also, equally important, is it expands the mandatory reporting of elderly maltreatment by including all mandated reporters. So not only do you have, for those that have to report child abuse, those same folks, but also home health aides, emergency medical services personnel, and emergency medical technicians. So we've expanded that. And really that started because there wasn't enough attention being paid to senior abuse. And it had been rampant for the last, you know, really 5 to 10 years. I mean, that's when we've gotten the most, it's when we've heard most about it.
Well, you're talking about a group just like children who have a hard time speaking up for themselves when they are victims of crime. So it's admirable work. Ann Rosenthal from the Tucker North Lake CID and ARC. You'll find more on the web, arcconsulting.org, and find more on the CID at tuckernorthlakecid.com. We'll circle back with you and talk a little bit about what's going on in the CID. But I want to get back with Brad Spratt. He's the president and CEO of DB Spratt Enterprises, a couple Chick-fil-A locations there at Tucker Station, as well as North Lake Festival right there in the Tucker North Lake area. So, Brad, talk about, and you kind of touched on it earlier, how Chick-fil-A is different from other fast food franchises.
Yeah, first let me say I have the pleasure of serving with Ann on the CID board, and she is an incredible person, and she's done some incredible things for the community. It's just remarkable when you get somebody like Ann on your team, what you're able to accomplish. So I just wanted to give kudos to her for all that she's done, not only in her lobbying efforts, but what she's doing for her community through the efforts of the Tucker North Lake CID. What makes Chick-fil-A different? Wow, what a great question. You know, first, locally, I think it our food. I think we have great food. I think we use only the best ingredients. We prepare it fresh every day in the restaurant. We're a restaurant, and we focus on producing quality product. The second thing is our people. I think we have great people. Great people attract other great people. We've been very blessed in that area. And thirdly, we've had great support from Chick-fil-A. They have a great support staff. They're truly there to serve the operators and those that are in the field, you know, serving chicken. And we do serve more than chicken. The Kathy family is an incredible family. They, through their Windshape Ministries, they've got missions all over the world. They have foster homes for kids. They have camps for kids that serve some 30,000 kids over the summer. We serve more than chicken. In fact, locally, we have one of the local churches. We attract, I think, 300-plus campers every summer. And just a way to make a difference in the communities in which we serve. And that footprint is growing.
Talk to me about this chicken sandwich. I was talking to somebody about this a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about like the great inventions of the 20th century, right? And you got the car, and you got the airplane, all this kind of stuff. There's not a product really that hasn't been duplicated, and it's a billion-dollar product. Talking about this original chicken sandwich, okay? And McDonald's has tried it, and McDonald's failed, and other people have tried it, and they have failed. Nobody's duplicated it, okay? People have protested it, and that failed. This invention that Truett Cathy came up with, 50, 60 years ago, whenever it was, that continues to grow and continues to pull people in. How great is it having that as the product you're putting out there?
It's amazing. And the product itself is amazing. And the Cathy family is amazing. And what we're able to do, by serving a chicken sandwich, a boneless breast of chicken on a bun. With two pickles.
I love the pickles.
And butter. It's our people that make a difference because our people are making difference in the communities in which they live and which they serve. So we're not just a restaurant company. We're restaurant companies with local ownership. And I think that's very important and a very clear distinction amongst us and some other brands.
Tell me about the people, because obviously you're going to have a restaurant manager. But the bulk of the staff, it always seems as it is in fast food, is going to be teenagers, maybe some college kids. The type of teenagers and college kids that you have at a Chick-fil-A, they seem different from other places. They're certainly more polite, it seems like. Talk about recruiting them. Talk about finding those right people.
You know, we've always believed that great people attract other great people, and we've been very fortunate to have some great people. It's unbelievable. A lot of the people that come to work with us, they're pursuing master's degrees. They're pursuing their education. They're high achievers. They're Eagle Scouts. They're involved. For a teenager, particularly who may work at night, typically they're involved in a lot and their schedule is packed, but they're learning great skills, great job skills, time management. They're learning to work in that environment. They're learning responsibility and accountability. It's incredible, but that's who they are. And so they pull in other people just like themselves. And for others, it's what they do. It's what their career is. And they take it seriously. And we're very fortunate to have a management team. It's our business has grown to the point where we can't have one person or two people. We have a group of people that come together to lead the restaurant. We like to think that all of our people in our restaurant are potential leaders, and they lead in their own way in the restaurant and in the community.
It's fast food because, you know, the food is made fast. You're not tipping anybody, that sort of thing. But by the same token, you do have some restaurant-type qualities when you talk about people are coming around asking if you want refills. You have the older lady coming around with a pepper shaker. Would you like some pepper on your salad?
That's my mom. Be careful. Just be careful about that.
And it kind of makes you feel like you're in a restaurant. Right. It seems like jobs and responsibilities that maybe other franchises would cut out because they're always looking to cut costs. Is that important to you guys? Because it kind of makes you feel like you're at home when people are kind of waiting on you like that.
Hospitality is a big part of who we are and what we do. It's important. We offer a casual dining restaurant in a quick service environment. Mm-hmm. So if you took away the menu boards, you might feel as if you were in a casual dining restaurant. And we want you to have that experience. We want you to feel welcomed. You know, we try to anticipate your needs. We're going to make your experience the best that we can possibly make it. We want to go that extra mile, and we want to carry your tray to your table for you. We want to clear your tray for you. We want to refresh your beverages. We want to help you to your car when it's rainy. We want to help you with large orders. You know, we want to make it easy for you. We love our guests. We're so fortunate to have some of the greatest guests in the world. Some who come every day, mm-hmm. and they all have different stories and why they come. They love they get to know our staff. Our staff gets to know them. We take pride in learning our customers' names a little bit, not just about their names, but who they are as a person. And how we can serve them and maybe make their day somehow a little better.
A little bit of a family there.
It's Brett, very much a family. In fact, the Chick-fil-A is very much a family.
Brett's Brad, our guest in the Cab Business today. How did you settle on the Tucker North Lake area? Because you mentioned that you started in Snellville about 8 years ago, was mm-hmm. it? How'd you land in the La Vista Lawrenceville Highway corridor?
You know, I've always believed in Tucker North Lake area. In fact, I grew up there. Having lived there for over 40 years, we knew the potential that the area has had and will have, and extremely excited about where that particular area is going. Mm-hmm. Wanted to make a difference in the community in which we live and serve. This was a great opportunity to do that. When we had the opportunity to come to Tucker in 2010, we were so excited. And then the property at North Lake Festival became available. And just what a great opportunity to make a difference in that community and bring people back to the North Lake area. It spurred some economic development through the efforts of the CID and through some of the business associations. We're starting to grow the area. The CID has some great projects that are improving the area. It's clean. It's safe. You know, what a great place. I mean, it's strategically located. Mm-hmm. It's close to Emory. It's close to the CDC. It's close to 85. It's close to 285. The future is bright, and plus it's 3 miles from my house.
That's not bad at all.
It doesn't get much better than that.
Now, when we talk about growth strategy, and we talk about it from kind of looking at it from a customer's perspective, because mm-hmm. we live in Tucker, and you brought out your latest restaurant, we're going, boy, more Chick-fil-A, that's a great thing. But it is like, what, 2-3 miles away, the two locations are, right?
It is. It's three miles away.
Is that a challenge, or is that an opportunity?
I think it's an opportunity, because together we can accomplish so much more. And it's, I'll give you an example. We did a fundraiser for a local group called Networks, and they feed the needy in our community. And we were able to raise between the two restaurants $6,000 to help those in need who are hungry, who need rent assistance. Networks is an organization that clearly knows how to handle that and deal with that. But together, we were able to combine our efforts and raise that kind of money. It's great. Because it's one community, so we can do a lot of things for the community and help grow the community and make it a better place to be.
They don't compete against each other.
You know, so since 2010, Tucker's seen about a 25% growth. Since we opened North Lake, we've seen about a 40% growth from where we started. So the area is economically thriving and it's growing, hence we're growing. So I think when we built North Lake, Tucker had, there was some impact, as there would be with locating a restaurant or a business that close to another. But over time, you know, that impact faded away, and they both were able to experience positive growth rates.
As we get toward the holiday season and you go to these parties or whatever, one of the easiest things to do is to pick up a Chick-fil-A party tray. I would imagine you see a lot of that. How about when it comes to corporations, catering, that sort of thing? Is that a big part of what you guys do?
You know, it's bigger than you would think. People are beginning to learn the offerings that we have. We cater a lot, and people don't realize that. We have a new chilled grilled sandwich that's very popular. Catering is a big part of Chick-fil-A's business, and I think you'll see more about that moving forward.
Is that something that you're actively out there trying to grow? How are you getting the word out about it?
Well, we do it through social media. We actually have one person that goes out and calls on businesses just to let them know what we have available. We do food distribution to local businesses. Our main focus is what we do within the four walls of our restaurant. Catering's secondary, but it's a very important part of what we do.
Let's bring in Rosenthal back into the conversation. And as both of you were involved with the Tucker North Lake CID, what's new? What's coming up? You mentioned there's really not much impact from the cityhood votes that went down last week. What are we going to see coming in the Tucker North Lake CID?
Well, hopefully, and a lot of that is due to Brad's great support. You know, can I go back a second?
Sure.
And one of the things when we talk about community and one of the things that I admire most about Brad is his commitment to the community and the type of person that he is. And people flock to that. And I think when you go into one of his restaurants, there is a noticeable difference between Brad's restaurants and any other restaurant, be it Chick-fil-A or any other. I have, and that's kudos to you for being able, for the person that you are, because folks flock to you and they want to work with you. And that shows what kind of person you are, management-wise as well as friend-wise. So,
thank you.
Yes. So anyway, so with Brad's guidance and as well as six other board members, we've been very successful. I think hopefully you've already seen some noticeable changes. We're taking care of the landscaping at I-285 and La Vista Road through the business district. In fact, we just completed work with our landscape architect. So they came up with some new plans for us, and implementation will start next month in December. We'll get some of those fall plantings. And so we're taking care of La Vista Road from 285 to in through the business district, and then that gateway for at the interchange, and then North Lake Parkway from Henderson Mill all the way down to Lawrenceville Highway, and then downtown Tucker. And then we'll also pick up one of the medians, the main median at La Vista and Lawrenceville Highway. Isn't that right, Brad? We're taking that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So continue to see new plantings there. We are also, this is a long process, but coordinating the traffic signalization along La Vista Road from North Lake Parkway to Montreal Road. If you've ever been on that road, it is, especially on any given Saturday afternoon,
you
can see the cars line up past my neighborhood because the signalization is so off. And that's actually a five-year process. But, yeah. But GDOT, we're working with GDOT, hopefully to try and speed that up. And it's just, it's a long, grueling process. I'm thrilled to say that in our two short years, really the majority of the funds that we have leveraged has come really within the last year and a half. We've leveraged over $300,000 between our landscaping and the completion of our master plan. So as Brad has said, great things are coming to North Lake. Demolition has already started on the old La Vista Business Office Park, which is across from Target. In fact, the developer sent me a picture this morning of, I actually asked him yesterday, when are the bulldozers coming? So he said, they're there. So we're really excited about that. Tucker Meridian, is slated to open, I believe, fall of next year.
Yeah, we had Ben Kushner on our show a couple months ago, and he targeted September.
Yep.
So it's exciting. A Dick's and a Ross, I believe, and some other great things.
Dick's, Ross, DSW, which I'm really excited about. I no longer have to drive to Perimeter.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Brad, talk about your involvement with the Tucker Northlake CID, because there's a lot of business people who can go about their business. Maybe they can make an investment in the CID and pay their dues and that sort of thing. But you've decided to get involved in the leadership. Tell us why.
Well, first of all, the CID provides a great way for businesses to invest back in the community. I mean, it's important. I say, how can you afford not to? It's important that we grow our community, that we make it a place where people want to work, they want to live. It's clean, it's safe. It's very important to grow our business. For the CID, and to Ann's credit, who's gone out and spoken to a lot of businesses, you know, over 200 businesses have voluntarily, property owners, pitched in, agreed to be taxed. I'm saying, you know what? We believe in Northlake. We believe in its future, and we're going to invest in it. And they have, and we have. Because if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. So we've got to be competitive moving forward. I think over the next 10 years, in 10 years, the Northlake Tucker area will not look anything like it does today. I think there's some big deals coming. I think the time to invest in our area is now. It's only going to get better.
What do you see it being in a decade from now, Ann? How is it different?
I think that we see businesses and industry, and let me rephrase that, more like a smaller scale perimeter area. Our big thing is we want to see mixed-use development here. This is a prime area for that. Office space, corporations specifically are looking at this area to come to. So I think we'll be seeing redevelopment of some of those old office slots, and I think we'll be seeing new office slots come in. I think that we will, in 10 years, I think the mall will be completely reshaped. We won't recognize it in 10 years.
Yeah. A lot of the commercial properties will be different, reinvestment. Yeah. I think you'll see boutique restaurants. I think it's going to be very walkable. People want the boutique shops, the restaurants. They want that feel.
They want that walkability.
They want the walkability. They want to be able to get around. We've got the Livable Communities Initiative, which is starting its second phase, which was responsible for the streetscape. Not the streetscapes, but the sidewalks and the lamps that you see that have improved the area so much. The second phase of that is about to begin on the backside of Northlake, which is going to be incredible.
On Northlake Parkway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, to Brad's point, that folks want to walk, they want to bike, we want to get out of our cars and walk to those destinations. You know, everywhere, when I travel, I was in Denver couple of months ago, pass till eternity. Mm-hmm. And we want that here. And more importantly, the community has made that known, that that's what they want. And I'm happy to say that downtown Tucker is about to get another boutique restaurant. The same folks that own Local 7 have opened a new it's not open yet. I think they're scheduled to open within the next month or so. I think it's called 527.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to stop by last night and try some of they did a kind of a trying out the kitchen. And I'm not a duck person, but I have some of the best duck.
Now, if they're serving duck, I think that tells you a little bit about the quality of restaurant that we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It is local, and it's very community-oriented, and it's unlike anything that we've seen anywhere that I've been to in Metro, including downtown Decatur.
Main Street Tucker.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great place. It's incredible. In the sense of community that's there, it's really a neat place to be, and it's really a neat to see the changes that have happened over the last 5 to 10 years, which is a credit to a lot of the local folks there that have really been passionate about change and making it better. And you know what? The Tucker community decides to do something, they do it.
Yeah.
And you can see the efforts are paying off in Main Street, and I think that Main Street's going to change too.
Absolutely.
Over time, and hope you'll see some more development down there as well.
One of the things that about Main Street and downtown Tucker, and as Brad said, I mean, there is no community like Tucker. Those guys stick together. And to kind of hit that home, the owner of Local 7 last night, he said, you know, there's just something special about our restaurant. I live in downtown Decatur, but I come here to eat. And here you see folks at Local 7 getting up because they know somebody. They get up and they wander from table to table for all the folks that they know and see. So it's a community gathering place. And we don't really have too many of those options. So that's what we're after, is making Tucker and Northlake a gathering place. And we'll do it.
You talked about Tucker Meridian. You talked about the beautification. Northlake Mall, are there any active plans for redevelopment or changes there? Or is that just something you see happening in the long term?
We see it happening in the long term.
Okay, very good. Last question for you guys. As leaders within the business community at your respective businesses, what inspires you? What drives you to do it? Brad?
I think the opportunity, for me, the opportunity to make a difference in the community in which I live and serve. Plain and simple. That's it. Let's just make a difference and make it a little bit better than when we found it.
I echo that and would just say, if not us, who? If not you, who?
Very good. The last question of the day, and the toughest question for you, Brad. An Auburn grad, I see in your bio. War Eagle tomorrow? What's going to happen?
Oh, boy.
It's been a tough year.
Listen, it's been an opportunistic year. We're growing. We're improving. Did you not watch last week?
Of course. Yeah. There was a good week there.
Has the Georgia folks, including my daughter, a little bit worried. Should be a good game this weekend.
We should be worried.
It's always, I think the series is 55-55-8. Mm-hmm. What a great rivalry. Both great universities, but.
All right, so you heard it, Georgia fans. You heard it, Auburn. That was a very diplomatic response. You can all dine at Chick-fil-A. That's fine. Do your pregame tailgate. There were some Chick-fil-A party trays. That's okay.
Thanks, Matt.
Brad Spratt from the Chick-fil-A franchises there in Tucker, DB Spratt Enterprises is his company, as well as Ann Rosenthal, president of the Tucker Northlake CID and ARC. We appreciate both of you being here today.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And that'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. We'll see you back here at noon with another panel of guests from in and around the DeKalb County area. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.